Wow, the presence of God is just amazing. And I want you to have an expectation that right where you're sitting, like I prayed, I just saw a picture of God actually moving through the aisles. And there's angels here tonight. And just very simply, just to open up your heart. You know, when the heart, when there's problems in our hearts and the heartbeat is wrong, then many times parts of the body don't get the blood that it needs to get. And that we call sometimes becomes a disability to move in the function that it has. And many of the, much of the church today is disabled and impotent and barren in our ability to reproduce spiritually, emotionally, and even for many people physically today. And tonight I'm going to share a bit of a straight word with us. And I've been thinking a lot about sharing this, and you think like, oh, okay. Because I know that sometimes we want to tend to go into condemnation, or we want to go into works or things like that. But simply, my prayer this week has just been, God, show us your heart. Because if I understand your heart, Lord, and if I have revelation, then I'm not going to do things because I just must do them because the pastor tells me to do them. No, simply it will be a response of gratitude, a response of just God that has given something to me. And I was thinking about just the whole idea of forgiveness. Do you know that nobody can offer you forgiveness? There's absolutely nobody that can come to you and say to you, you are free, eternally your sins are forgiven, except one, which is Jesus Christ. And if we just hold on to that thought of forgiveness for a moment, it's the most powerful thing, that you can stand up and you can be here and you can walk on this campus and across the earth, and you can say to the whole world, I'm forgiven. I'm free. I don't have any debt. I'm like free, you know. What a thought. And yet sometimes we are disabled in our ability to walk in that freedom because of certain things. And I've entitled the message, Don't Waste Your Seed, Let's Go. Okay? And we're going to talk very straight things tonight, so please don't be offended in any way. But I just felt like it's time that we talk about certain things. And it's our mission sending. But one of the things that make us not be able to reproduce is sometimes just that we're barren. People are barren, they cannot reproduce because their organs and their systems doesn't work. But do you know, spiritually, for many people in the church today, it's the same. There's an inability to reproduce or to multiply. And God has said from the beginning, he said, look here, go into the earth and multiply. Subdue the earth and reproduce. Yeah? God had from the beginning, he wanted us to rule the earth. And it isn't like let's be strong, let's be out there. Simply, it's a place of knowing God. And so, in Matthew chapter 28, God has called us from the word go. He said, you know, and probably the most important words of a man is when he's at the end of his life, not at the beginning, okay? So, if you find somebody on his deathbed, that person is not going to say to you, yo, do you know what? I wish that I drove a better car when I was 42 years old or when I was 35. I wish I drank a couple of more beers when I was like 25, you know? Somebody on their deathbed is probably going to tell you very profound things of, yo, I wish I didn't waste so much time in earthly things and spent more time with my family, pursued more the kingdom of God. There's profound things at the end of your ministry or the end of your life. And so at the end of Jesus, just before he leaves, he gives us a command, a commission. And we've all heard this commission in Matthew chapter 28. It says, go into all the earth. But it's not a suggestion. It's not a sort of like, let's try and go and do things. God has got a plan A, and that plan A is sitting between these four walls tonight. It's called the church. It's not the walls. It's not the building. It's the people sitting here. That's God's plan. You're God's plan. I'm God's plan. And we have this ability to represent God in the earth and represent and spread his glory and spread his light in areas where there's just darkness. What a profound thing that you and I can represent an almighty God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He says, I've chosen you to do that. If not, oh, you know, I could have thrown 300,000 or 3 million little pamphlets from the sky and say, I am God. Serve me. if you don't, you'll burn. But God hasn't. You know, God can actually show himself mighty, you know, and just tell all the people, serve me, you know. Come, I cometh hithereth too. You shall serveth me now, you know. But because of God's heart and because God wants human interaction, he said, look here, I've got a plan. But I've got one plan, and that plan is you. And so in Ephesians, it says here, and Paul writes this in Ephesians 1 verse 18. He writes in verse 18, he says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that it might be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Say, the hope of his calling. Now listen to this. He says, that you may know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The riches of the glory of an inheritance that he has placed inside of you. You've got an inheritance and you've got a glory that you have to live out. He says, I pray that you know this. I pray that you begin to see, because it doesn't help us to talk about a lot of things and talk about doctrine. If you cannot see, then there's a massive challenge. And that's why Paul starts here and he says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding will open up. Because if the eyes of your understanding, if you see in the spirit, it's called revelation knowledge, then it's going to be, you're going to change the world. And so that's what God said to Peter when he asked Peter, Jesus asked Peter, what do you say that I am? Who do the people say I am? And then Peter said, well, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And then God says, and he says, oh, do you know what? Flesh has not revealed this to you. But on this revelation of who I am, who God is, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. He said, if you have this revelation of who I am, my heart for you, my heart for the world out there, then things are going to begin to change, because it's not a set of rules that we do. It's not because we come to church. It's not because we try to sing nice songs here tonight, but it's about one thing. It's about a glory. It's about a deposit that God has given you. And he said that inside of you, he's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness in Jesus Christ. He's given you the ability. There's something supernatural when we begin to unlock our relationship with God. But that ability to see comes only through the power of the Holy Spirit, when you and I begin to say to God, God, open the eyes of my understanding. Would you pray that? Lord, I pray that you'll open the eyes of my understanding. Okay, if you've got some time, go and read the scripture and go and make it your own. Go and pray it into your life, okay? He says that you may know this, what is the exceeding greatness, not just the greatness, he says the exceeding greatness of his power. He says, he talks about glory, he talks about inheritance, he talks about the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the mighty working of his power. So he says, it's not just glory, but when you understand the glory of God, there's a power that God wants to release over the church and in your life and through your life. And he says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And now listen to this. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He says, Jesus reigns, he's seated, everything is under his feet, and he gave that fullness to you and me. He says he gave that ability to spread his glory into the earth. So Jesus saying this at the end of his life, just before he goes up, go and make disciples of the nations, wasn't like a little suggestion. It wasn't like a little, let's try to do something. He says, if you understand what you have, and you understand who I am, then suddenly things are going to begin to change. You're going to understand the fullness of my glory, and you're going to start to live it out. So when you walk to class, when you're driving your car, you begin to say to God, God, there's an exceeding greatness of your power. I want to know that. I want to be, Lord, in that place where you have called me to be. I don't want to just be a mediocre Christian, be a boring Christian. I'm going to want to be a servant of the Most High God. Can somebody say amen? Okay, now, I have to confess something tonight before we go on, and that is the fact that I don't like going to the optometrist. Like some of you don't like going to the dentist, I cannot go to people like Darbury. Because, you know, every time they shoot that air into my eye, I pass out. I see the glory, fleshly glory. You know, I go to like the optometrist. I get a prayer warrior team to pray for me because once every 10 years, I must go for a checkup with my eyes. And if you come close to my eyes, I pass out. I just see staircases. I think it's heaven coming and then go, you know, I'm gone. So about 3 years ago, I had to go to the traffic department to renew my license, my PDP license. And so now I'm sitting there and just looking into that little thing, you know, putting my eyes close to that little thing is, it just makes me like drowsy, you know. So I can literally not see the letters, you know, even the, I think I make the first one letter. It's always a C. Oh, I think so. A C and then the D and then the E. Have you been there? You know, you see one and then two letters and then four letters and then seven letters. But you know, that is where I love God because I must get a word of knowledge for the second row and the third row and the fourth row. Yeah. So I was sitting there and I would say, I always pray like this. I say, God, give me favor with the traffic guy sitting on the other side. So then at the third row, I say, I think it's a D. Then he goes, I think it's a E. He goes, I say, it's definitely a F. He says, yeah. That's how I go by faith to pass my. But it's just, yeah, if you have the inability to see, and I was talking to a girl here on campus when we did the Love the Campus with the disabled people. And I asked her, what is the challenges for you? Because I don't know what you must go through. You know, I felt very convicted because she said to me, do you know what is the worst thing is when people park on the sideway or next to the street with their cars and the car is on the pavement because a dog is trained to walk to the other faculty and then the dog stops because the dog cannot pass the car that stands on the pavement. And then it flashed me by of the two times. One time I got a ticket where I parked on the pavement. I said, Lord, never again. Never again, you know. But if you have the inability to see, if you have the inability to know, you know, it's like you're trying very hard, but with the moment when you can see, suddenly you begin to say like, whoa. Because why it's like a new world opening up to you. And what we take for granted just in the natural, many people don't have that, disabled people. So I dare you, just go and chat to them. Don't go and lay hands on the blind people and say, you must be healed. Just ask them, I want to know your world. I want to know where you, what are the things? How can I help you? How can I serve you? And the moment when you start to do that, and that's the thing that I want to challenge us with tonight as we start, is if we want to go, we must be able to get out of our comfort zones and we must step into the boat of other people's lives. That's all what glory is about. It's not to be intimidated by other people. When we were on Friday at John Lennox talk, this one guy jumped up and he was like, how many of you were there? Yeah, like he was just going off, you know. And I was thinking like, oh, you just blew your whole cover right there, you know. But now I can get angry at that guy, one of the guys that jumped up and was very negative against the professor. And all I can just say, he obviously hasn't got a clue. Let's try and find out where is the hurt button, the panic button. Because that was obviously pushed in the process, you know. But you know, God wants us to see. God wants us to know. And the only way that you can actually see is you have to take these 2 feet and you have to go there to be able to see. If I don't walk into that blind person's life and ask certain questions, I will never know. I can think I know. And that's unfortunately where many Christians are, is we don't want to infiltrate other people's lives. We don't want to get there because we're in a comfort zone. And that's what God said. That is what the whole message of the gospel is. Jesus coming out of his comfort zone of glory, coming to the earth to come and see where you and I live to say there's a better way. He came to the earth, left his glory, left his splendor and said, I'm going to serve that bunch of people because obviously they haven't got a clue what they're doing. Turn to someone next to you and say, you haven't got a clue what you're doing. Okay, let's not get personal on each other right now, okay? I see some of you enjoy that too much, huh? Some of you there at the back. We're not nasty here, we're Christians. You haven't got a clue what you're doing. To me, Preach it, Pastor, preach it. the pointing of the finger. I saw some fingers going there, you know. Okay. The second thing, if we want to spread His glory, we need to spread His holiness. God has got a standard. And you know what the human race problem has always been is we want to bring God down to our standard. We want to make an image of Jesus that we like. And then what we do is we compromise on the Bible, we compromise on the Word, we compromise on so many things. And then many people say, why is the church powerless? Well, very simply, because we make Jesus into our own image. And that was the big problem from the beginning when Adam and Eve sinned. God said, don't take of that tree, don't eat of that. Why? Because you're going to become like me. That was the temptation. Bring God down to a place where I can understand. Bring God down to a place where He serves me. And that's why God's holiness is more reflected in the Bible. God talks more about His holiness than His love. He loves me, but He's holy. He loves me, but He's holy. Even in His love, He will never lower His standards because He's perfect. Otherwise, He cannot be God. And so, especially in the modern day church, the reason why we're powerless to go out there, get into other people's lives is simply because we compromise. And we compromise on a very specific level, on many levels, but one that I want to address tonight, and I first want to read 1 Peter 1 verse 13. It says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. It's almost like the picture that he has is many things hanging from somebody's mind, okay, like loose ropes hanging from your mind. And then the picture that he says about girding up your mind is, he says, get all these ropes, tie them together in a bowler on your head so that you can focus. That's the picture that he has. All these loose things, the distractions and the stuff that's hanging from your mind, just tie it up, make it into a bola, and then run. Okay? He says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Okay? Like we should be. He's not just talking about people that has gone to Springboks. He says, be sober, Christians, all the time. And rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, as He who called you. God has called you to a place of holiness. That's what we're talking about tonight. You also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Okay. God has got a standard of holiness. And this is where I'm going to be like a little bit of a daddy to you tonight and a father, because I'm one of the fathers in this house, and I'm going to speak it straight. Okay? I'm going to start with the ladies. Ladies, the stuff that you wear. No, let me rather say the stuff that you don't wear. Okay? Okay. Some ladies walk around on this campus, no condemnation tonight, but very simply they can rather walk around in their panties and their underwear because they literally wear nothing. Okay. So if you do that, I want to tell you how men's brains work. Men work by sight. Okay. So what they see will arouse them, or they will get an erection because they can just see you walking around with nothing on. But you know what you do is you tempt them to take the glory of God on yourself. Because the eyes are the windows of the soul. And by doing those things, you defile other people. It's not just about a sexual thing. And that's what the media does all over the place. There's two things the media does. The one thing is they desensitize us to a violent culture. So that when you hear about a murder and blood that's shed and all that stuff, you just think like, oh, what another murder. And what begins to happen is your conscience becomes dead before God. So we as a society in South Africa lose a purity and an ability to be sensitive to the response of the Holy Spirit. But the other thing the media does is the media creates an environment of sexuality and sensual pleasure. So that you don't even need to take off your clothes. There's always this sexual tension. And the reason for that is very simply, and I'm not just talking to guys here, because ladies, do you know 30% of porn users on the internet are ladies? So there are many ladies that are also struggling with lust. So guys, the pants that you wear and the stuff that you wear, for many of you, it's the same. Okay? Some ladies also have sexual desires in that way. But men work like that. What they see will arouse them and they want to reproduce. That's why when it comes to the glory of God, if you can see God, what will happen is immediately you will get God's DNA and you will start to reproduce in the earth, but spiritually. Because when you have sex, do you know what? It's not about the physical, it's about your soul. You have sex with your soul more than what you have with your body. So the whole world, and now I'm going to switch over a little bit to the men. That pornography, that masturbation, do you know what you do is you train yourself to trade the glory of God for something else that is natural. You say, I don't want that. I would rather settle for a cheap intimacy where I become the one who's worshipped and not God who's worshipped. Because it simply boils down to worship. It simply boils down to a place where you say, I am going to be the center of my intimacy. And then the problem is when it comes to these pornography images and all this stuff, because I tell you, and everybody looks like holy here tonight. Everybody's thinking like, ooh, there's nobody in Shofar that's struggling with pornography, you know. Or masturbation. Just don't call the M word in the church, you know. I saw some people at the back going like, I'm going to tell my mother. I saw that at the back, y'all. Okay. But you know what we do is we trade. The devil makes sure that we trade our vision to see God and our vision to be apostolic. We trade it. And the one thing where it grips you is in the power of pornography, the images in our heads, in our spirits. And that's why Scripture says if you sin sexually, it's the only sin that Scripture mentions where you sin against your own body. You defile yourself when you sin sexually. And that's why God is going to restore people here, because part of the apostolic vision and ability to go to nations is very simply is where God can restore you to the place where you're pure. Even if you've lost your virginity or you have played around sexually and immorally, do you know what? God can restore you completely. Because, and it happens not through 400 courses that you do. It happens simply by looking to God, by saying, God, okay, I want that intimacy with you. I want that desire to be filled by you. I want to see you. I want to see your glory in my life. But God, I cannot stop there. And this is where many people then trade, because why? Their relationship with God. Are you still with me tonight? You need to focus now, okay? The people's relationship with God, many times through our worship, becomes lustful. And then we prostitute the gospel, because what we come to God for is we say, God, me, bless me, help me, serve me. And that's lust. So lust isn't just sexual stuff. Lust is about getting and gaining and self-pleasure and self-seeking. And it can be very spiritual. But love is the opposite. Love is when you understand I can give to somebody. I can withhold myself, have self-discipline, and there's going to be a day when I can give myself in purity to a wife. And now you're going to say, oh, you just put the law, because you know what? The whole world is sleeping around. Everybody, you don't even know what my neighbor does every day there, in the courses, They have an urge to merge every second night, I don't know. But I just had to say that because it's okay. It's getting very silent in this place. Yeah? But I want us to see this because there's something that we trade. It's a very simple thing when it comes to sexual stuff. It's something that we trade of the glory of God. It's a very thing, but it makes then sex negative and we defile ourselves. And then we see how many broken marriages there are and people that can't live in the fullness of the glory of God on their house. Why? Because when that guy gets into bed with his wife, there's 400 other prostitutes that he has an image on in his head that sleeps with him, that competes with his wife one day when he's in bed. Because that's what happened. That's what's going to happen. Do you know what? those images stay in your spirit. It stays in your soul. That's why you need deliverance. And do you know what those ladies on at the pornography stuff, I watched the documentary with this one big porn star. And I wish I could just have like some clips for you where she says, do you know what? It's all fake, she says. Do you know what? I'm the top porn star in the world, but you know it's all fake. Thank you for paying for me. But every orgasm has been a fake, she says. Because it's not real. So what you're watching is fake. It's a trade-off. And you know, I deal with especially lots of guys. Do you know what? And every guy here, I've not encountered one guy that has not been exposed to pornography. And then they have on the camp, and then there's this one Christian stupid leader that says to people, oh, masturbation is actually fine because do you know what? You have a sexual pleasures and desires. All I ask you is a simple question. Can you worship Jesus while you do it? Who's getting the worship? It's about worship. It's about glory. I'm talking very straight stuff with you. Okay? So girls, you don't need to be a nun. Okay? Hide yourself and have like a post busy or something, you know? Okay? But you know, at least cover to here and cover to here, you know? Don't want to see your behind and all that stuff, you know? Just like, there's a murmur in the camp. Everybody's like, okay. Lord, just keep the images out. Okay, but in any case, so people, when we dedicate ourselves to a life of holiness, and I can say this, you know, something that happened with my wife, I decided I'm not going to fray her. I'm going to be respectful. And as we were going out and as we did that stuff, do you know what a pleasure it was? And do you know what an amazing thing it was? The greatest gift that I could give somebody else was virginity. And even some of you sitting here, maybe you've lost that, but you know what? God wants to restore your spiritual virginity. That place where you're pure. That place where you stand. And that's what the world is waiting for. Let me say, don't confine to this images of this world. Because the image and the marketing and all that stuff is designed to steal the glory of God from your life. But when you decide, Lord, this has been a struggle. Lord, I know I've prayed, I have fasted, but Lord, I need your grace. Because it's easier said than done, and that's why you need accountability. That's why at the end of this service, we're going to stand up and we're going to say to God, God, we want to live pure lives. We're going to hold each other accountable. And you know what? It's going to be tough, because even this week, as I was preparing for this message, somebody sent me a link, but it was the wrong link. So I opened it up and I walked out of the room, and as I came back, I heard these funny noises coming from the computer. So I just like, I ran. Where did that come from? Yeah. I bind you, Satan. Yeah. Because it's so freely available, you know, and the devil is going to set you up. Because do you know what? He wants your purity. Because scripture says it's only the pure in the heart that shall see God. Matthew chapter 5. Only the pure in the heart that shall see God. And that's what God wants. God wants to unveil us so that we can see His glory. God wants us to go to the ends of the earth. But it starts simply right here in your heart. Starts in a place of holiness. Saying no to a lot of things. Some of you must stop. Just fast for a while from movies and all that stuff. Just for a while. You know, I spoke to my wife this week, Louise, and I said to her, do you know what? I'm going to talk a bit about porn and that stuff. She looked at me and she said, you know what? I don't know how people have time. We don't even have time for the news, to watch the news. Where do people get time for this stuff, you know? Oh, that's what I love about my wife. You know, she's just like, how stupid can people be, you know? You waste so many hours on that nonsense that's fake in any case. Instead of preparing yourself. Because you know what, young men? Every day you are preparing yourself for marriage. Do you know, young girl, every day you're preparing yourself for the day when Jesus will return because the bride is making herself ready. Every day is a preparation ground. Because many people come and say, yo, one day I'm going to be whole. One day I'm going to be perfect and then I'm going to get married. No, 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 no. God is looking for wholeness, not perfection, but you're preparing yourself today by saying no to lustful things and pornography. By doing it God's way. By saying, God, restore me. Take away all those images. So guys, if there's a girl walking down the road there, the fact that you see a half-naked girl is not a sin. Because they walk there. They're all over campus. It's a rare species, but they walk here. Okay? But the question is just very simply, what do you do with what you see? And so here's a tip for you. When you see that lady half naked, bounce your head. There's a specific scripture in the Bible that says, I look up to the mountains, where shall my help come from? Okay? Okay. That's why God has given us beautiful mountains, maker of heaven. But don't quote the other place, earth. Just go focus on the heaven there, okay? Just stop at the heaven, okay? But then what you do is you start to pray. You say, God, I've seen that, but you know what? I pray for her salvation. Find somebody that's not saved. Begin to pray for them. Go on the offense. Hurt the devil and see how quickly he leaves you. Because we always go like on the defense. Oh, I'm a sinner. I saw a half-naked girl walking there at the PJ. I am never going to get back to that place again. Oh, I'm going to bunk all my classes because the sinners are at PJ. Okay. Let me not say anything else. Okay. And that's, we're in this world, but you know what? We're not from this world. We're passing through. And God wants you to live a holy standard. And I know some of us feel maybe a bit condemned because you've been sleeping around, you've been doing all this other stuff and all that stuff, all that nonsense. But you know what? That's why we're here tonight, because we know Jesus. We know that He wants to restore. He wants to bring us to a place of holiness where one day you can say, because there's some of us sitting with massive fears here. Your dad had that porn magazines under his thing and there were lots of stuff. And it was just like natural. That's how you grew up. I must tell you this story. I was sitting next to a lady once that flew down from Johannesburg. And it was a very interesting conversation because she started and she said, that was how the conversation started. She says, do you want like sexual tools? I was thinking, like, I pray that God will open up, you know, that God will connect me and I will sit next to somebody that really needs the gospel. But I was thinking, like, oh, this is going to be very interesting. You know? She says, do you want the vibrator? I said, no, thank you. I've got a wife and she's beautiful to me. I don't need any other stuff. She says, oh, what do you do? I say, I'm a pastor. What do you do? No. And then she said to me, oh, I'm on my way to Cape Town because I'm going to open up a sex shop. I said, oh. And suddenly it was silent all around. We had a whole audience. I can just imagine all the people, because she started to talk out loud. She says, do you know what? I give porno movies to my 9-year-old child because I want to educate him. I say, oh. So now I begin to preach the gospel. Yeah. I begin to say, yeah, but half of the plane is just like silent because they think like, this is going to be very interesting. Yeah. But you know, the moment changed when I said to him, do you know what? You don't need this stuff. You actually just have a deep, deep longing for a God that will touch you in your inner being. Because when you were 9 years old, those stuff that was done to you was never the heart of God. It was never His intention for you. And then she was silent. And she just sat there and said, do you know what? I'm going to leave you, she says. But there are so many broken people that have been messed up from when they were young. So they just react in that way because they've grown up in that way. And some of us sitting here have been sexually defiled when you were young. Some of us have been stuff that's been happening to you. You had some dreams when you were very young and all that stuff. And you feel very worthless. And that's why the one thing that I believe God wants to restore is just your eyes to see Him. That's where it starts. Because when you can see, you can begin to multiply, because that's how God has made you. And let me say this very, very straight to you tonight. God has not got a problem with homosexual people or lesbian people. The big reason why he has a problem with the sin of homosexuality, not with homosexual people, is the fact that they cannot reproduce. It denies the nature of God. It denies his image. And it comes from a place where people have defiled themselves to give themselves over to natural desire, scripture says, which becomes an abomination to God. God loves people with homosexual tendencies, but God wants to set people free. And as the church, if we're not going to live holy lives, do you know what? Homosexual people don't feel welcome here because they feel condemned and judged and all that stuff. Oh, those people are just going to tell me I'm going to go to hell. No. If we can show them the glory of God, they'll be set free because of the love of God that brings the fullness of God. Can somebody say amen in this place? Okay. So people, maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're struggling with homosexuality, you're struggling with that, and God wants to set you free. He wants you to have great sex in your marriage, reproduce, because you've been made like that. You've been made like that. Don't believe the lie. There isn't like a DNA, whatever, grown up like that. It's just the need for the glory of God in your life. And you know, we don't have that. We don't have the power of God anymore to break those strongholds over people's lives. And it's not like homosexual stuff is bigger than adultery or greater. Oh, at least let's judge the homosexuals, but the adulterers and the fornicators, they can get away. It's exactly the same. The ability to reproduce within covenant terms is what God has called us to do in a covenant relationship by blood. That is why when you lose your virginity, there's blood that flows because it's a covenant with God. That's why when Jesus dies on a cross, there's blood that flows because he restores virginity back to the earth and says, I'm going to redeem you. I'm buying yourself back to myself. That's the gospel, people. But the devil has lied to some of us, and God is going to set us free tonight when we're going to make a stand. Hallelujah. And now I'm still busy just with the introduction. Whew. Okay. I'm going to rush. Are you still ready? Will you give me an extra 5 minutes? Who gives me an extra 5 minutes? Okay. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. Okay. I've got at least 3 hours just out of this block. Lock the doors. Okay. Whew, it was very silent now. Thank you, Lord. That's stuck over. I didn't even blush while I did it. But in any case, So to be able to go to the nations, and I want to challenge you, find yourself in a place where you get out of your comfort zone, where you get into other people's lives, where you become apostolic. And that's what we call the Great Commission. To be commissioned means to be authorized by someone with authority. His name is Jesus. It's somebody that appoints us, somebody that gives us a charge to do, somebody that empowers us, dispatch and entrust us with a mission. His mission. He says, I'm dispatching this to you. I'm giving it as a command. Go and make disciples. Go into your res. Go into your workplace. Go into the varsity. Go into South Africa. Go to India. And make disciples of the nations. Oh. Matthew 25, verse 29 to 30. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. It's the law of multiplication. If you have, and the seed that you have is pure, you're going to have a great harvest. If the seed is impure, because you can only reproduce after your own kind, you can only reproduce what you are intimate with. I'm going to say that very slowly. You can only reproduce what you are intimate with. If you don't spend time with God and you're not intimate with God, do you know what? You're going to reproduce something else that you're intimate with. Because it's not about what you do, it's about who you are that reproduces, that multiplies. And that's why so many people in the church is barren. They cannot reproduce. Why? Because they're not intimate. They're intimate with the world. Pastor, that's very hard to say no. Just look at the fruit. Look at the fruit. We're not reproducing, and we're not talking about churches out there. We're talking about us here, talking about my life. Lord, I'm not reproducing. Today there was a lady, and it just confirmed this whole world. She came up to me. She said, you know what, at F1, there was a guy that preached and he taught. I stood, and I know this lady very well. She said, this guy, I was standing, I didn't see him, but you know what happened is, I thought it was you, but his voice was just completely different. I was thinking, like, what happened to CS's voice? And then she came up to me, she said, do you spend a lot of time with that guy? I said, yes, I do. And she said, because he sounds just like you. Then I was scared. Because do you know what? Spiritually, you reproduce. It's called importation. I can see a CRC person from a mile. I can see them from a mile. They don't even need to say that. I can see different churches people from a mile. I can see why. Because you reproduce over to your own kind. That's like quite scary. I always pray, Lord, let my sin not be reproduced. Lord, all my weaknesses. Lord, just like the few strong points that I have. Lord, multiply that, you know. But here it says, and he will have abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. You've got nothing, and that nothing that you have will be taken away from you. Law of multiplication. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth. You know, we don't talk about hell anymore in the church because it's not tolerant enough and people are, oh, you judge me. But hell is a reality. We never confront people out there, unsaved people, with hell. But you know what? I need to confront believers all the time between heaven and hell. Because if you as a believer don't realize that your family is going to hell if you don't pray and you don't reach them, you don't go out there, make a difference in the world out there, they will be under a weeping and a gnashing of teeth. It's talking about the unprofitable servant. There's some of your family members that are going straight to hell. They're on their way there. And you're their only answer. Your praise. Your witness. Some people sitting next to you in the class. And people, this is serious because their lives depend on your obedience. Their lives depend on your reproduction. Making disciples of the nations. And that's what being apostolic means. It means to be a delegate, an ambassador for the gospel. Somebody that is sent, a commissioner of Christ. Listen to what the first church looked like, and I need to rush. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. This is the picture of the first church. This is restoration. This is where we want to go. This is the bride that's going to be look like this before Jesus comes back. He says, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. Verse 45, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among them all as anyone had need. And then so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and a simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added daily to the church those who were being saved. What a beautiful picture of what the church should look like. The Lord adding daily people that are in great need. But you know what? Real sinners out there don't feel welcome here. Why? Because of the levels of compromise in the church, just talking universally. That's so simple. That's why when people that come here and prostitutes and people like that, you know, they don't get delivered immediately. Why? Because of our level. We've lowered so that we can be tolerant. And God says he wants to raise up a generation that's different, that's holy, blameless, can stand before him and say, God, on that wedding day, I've preserved myself. Lord, you've restored me. So the whole world can see there's a God with a standard. And there's purity, because you can see purity from a mile. You can see defilement from a mile. I can see from a mile when somebody's struggling with pornography. I can see it. Now everybody goes like, I can see it. I can see in the whole posture. I can see it in the way that you approach people, the way that you communicate. I can see it. Because it drags you down to a level. Luke chapter 4 verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because if you want to be apostolic, if you want to be visionary, if you want to go to the nations, that's why I want to encourage you. Every student, trust God this year to go on one mission, a local mission. We've got 4 days that we're going to do here. Or go to India. Trust God for the faith. Because the moment when you step out of your comfort zone and you say, okay, God, I want your standards in my life. The moment, it's called faith. It's the ability to move away from where you are in control. Oh, then God begins to show you who He is. And then you begin to realize there in India, God works a little bit differently than here. There's a riches, like Dobri said tonight. He learned more by going there than what he actually could give. It always works like that when we go. We're more blessed when we give. Because Scripture says it, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Okay. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The most amazing thing when you get there in India or you get there in Pakistan, I shared this morning, there's one pastor, this Indian pastor came to, and my stomach was running for 3 days. And then he prayed this prayer, very profound spiritual prayer. Lord, I loose the fullness of God over him. I said, Lord, cancel. Cancel. Lord, bind me to your will. But don't loose me to the fullness. It's just amazing. Yeah. When you stand in that place and you're weak and you've got nothing to give, and then God is like, you know. That came out wrong. That came out. Okay, that came out completely wrong. Okay. Okay. Oh, take that one from the tape. Okay. See, now I'm blushing. I just prophesied. I'm not going to blush. Okay. I used the complete wrong words there. But in any case, so. Don't imagine too much, okay? But you know, it's so amazing when you get out there, and that's why I want to challenge you. Get out of your comfort zone. There's local ministries, you know, just the hospital ministry. Just this weekend, 1,700 people lost their shacks here in Kaimandi. It burned down Friday morning early. People ran around. Families have been sitting on the street this weekend, and you'll see there are 3 buckies standing out here full of stuff that people brought. Okay? Make a plan. What are you going to do about it? About going? No, but I don't have money. Give your 20 bucks. Go without one meal. Organize your res. Stand up tomorrow in the res and say, look here, we're going to all sponsor our meals in lunch hour. Let's get our meals and take it there to the people. Okay, no. That's going to cause chaos. Okay? Just organize it with us. We'll organize it, okay? But do something about it. Go. Get there. Do you know what it will feel like if you lose everything within 3 hours? Do you know what it's going to feel like if you come home and your home is burnt down? There's nothing left of all your photos, of your CD players. Everything is gone and you just stand there and everything is just gone that you've worked for 20 years. Do you know what that must feel like? But I'm going to continue in my way because I'm spiritual. I'm going to worship Jesus while the world is going to hell. Make a difference. Start to reproduce what God has given you. Start to say, God, I've got some fish and bread and I want you to multiply it. Lord, I've got 10 bucks. What can I do with my 10 bucks? Because my 10 bucks can buy a meal for somebody in Kaimandi that has not eaten for 2 days. Oh, I need to have a million. Just start with 10 bucks. I raised my case. Let's become doers of the word. Will you stand with me tonight? You see, being in this church is not going to be easy for you. It's not easy for me because we are apostolic. I get the question so many times, why do you send people to India, and why do you go to Pakistan, and why do you go to those other places while there's so many needs around you? People ask me all the time. Then I say, is the issue about money? Because then you're thinking in the wrong way. Don't fight with the 10% of the church that goes to India and Pakistan, offers up their holiday, and now you want to judge them. You say, oh, rather start here. No, you start where you are right now. The first people that need the gospel are the people right next to your dorm, right there in your res, right there in Dagbreek, Janku, right there in Dagbreek next to you. Right there where you're standing, they're in need of that. Martin, right there, that guy living next door to you there, he needs you. He needs the glory of God in your life. But how many times are we going to trade what is precious? Because scripture says, if you come to the pool of great price, if you come to the place when you understand what salvation means, the fact that a human being can have a relationship with the living God, scripture says you leave everything. You sell everything. Because you realized what you have, there's a pearl of greatest price. You cannot buy it even with money, but you'll go in. You'll say, that's the only joy that I can ever have in my life. And you know what? Many people, you see them. Some of your grandfathers and grandmothers, and we're not judging them, but they sit there, they've got a great retirement package, they've got a great home at the sea, but they're frustrated Christians. Here's two people sitting in front here that's offering up their lives to be at the Salvation Army. There's a family here that's blessed. It's so amazing to look and listen to their weddings and all that stuff. They don't have the money to do that. God provides. Sergeant Major. Are you a sergeant? What are you? A major. He's a major. Yes, Major. People that are going to be blessed living in their old age, and then they're going to look like, wow, we've affected. We've seen so many people come through our ministry, and people that's been delivered that the world has cast out. That's true riches. One day when you stand at the end of your life and you can say, look here, thousands of people have run with the seed that I've placed in their hand. That's what my topic is about. Don't waste your seed. But I'm talking about a spiritual seed, and I'm talking about a natural seed. Because some of you are spilling your seed all over the place, naturally and spiritually. You're wasting. And God says, come. I want you to be apostolic. I want you to have the nations. Jesus said it. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for the nations. But you have made it a den of thieves. A den of thieves. Well, what were thieves? Thieves are people that come in and they just take. And they take and they lust. I want you to do me a favor. In this week, I know it's beer rec week starting and engineering week. Just in this week, take 20 minutes out or 30 minutes. Go to a map on my toilet, in my one toilet, where you, if you come to visit at my home, I've got a massive map, a world map. I've just went and ordered another one from London. I'm going to paste it all over my house. Because if I sit there on the toilet, I look at the world. And I say, Jesus, you reign. And I look at Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan. Yeah, but you're just passionate. You know, one day I got a list of the 10 top persecuted countries in the world. I said, okay, God, I want to go to North Korea. Oh, and I want to help people to get there. Lord, I want to go to Iran. Lord, I want to go to Pakistan. Lord, I want to go to Saudi Arabia. Lord, all these 10 nations, everything says it's impossible, but I want to go there. Do you know? We're preparing to go to Iran. Our first team has gone into North Korea. God has just opened a door in North Korea for people to be able to permanently move there. We've been to Pakistan. We tried 3 years. It failed dismally. And for the last 2 years, God has opened up the door. The most worst place to live on the face of the earth. The city with the most crime and the most intense place to be. We could not even walk on the streets there. And you know what? By God's grace, we got in there. Because one day, when I was standing on the farm, on the stoop, many years ago, God opened up my spirit and I saw a vision. I saw a vision of Jesus hanging on the cross. I wasn't even saved. And there was blood in his hands. And blood was dripping from his hands. He was standing in front of me. And then he brought the hands closer and I saw the nations, one nation after the other, forming in his blood. And he said, "That's why I died. I died for them. I died for those 2 billion people that has never, never heard the name of Jesus. 2 billion people that has never heard the name of Jesus." So the first group of people that we want to pray for tonight, we're going to take our time a little bit. So please be patient. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, you've never heard his call. You've never come to a place of relationship with him where he saves you, he delivers you from this world. And you're not born again, your spirit is not alive to him while every believer is praying. Or maybe you've been playing games with God because Jesus has not been number one in your life. You've done so many other things, been so many other places, you've wasted. And Jesus says, "Come, I want to teach you to be my disciple and to go and make disciples." If that's you tonight, while every believer is praying, I want you to stick up your hand. I want you to say, "Yes, I'm going to say yes to that call," because Jesus invites you to a relationship with him. You're not inviting him to a relationship with you. He's inviting you and says, "Come, I want to show you who you really are. I want to renew you. I want to make you a new creature. I want your spirit to become alive to me so that you can stand in eternal things and not be earthly in that way." If that's you, I want everybody to stop. Don't walk around anymore. I want you to lift your hand very high and say, "That's me. Tonight, I'm saying yes to the call of God to come and have a relationship." Anybody like that? Quickly. Maybe you're backslidden. I want you to raise your hand very high. Just quickly while believers are praying. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Raise your hand very high. Because even if there's just one, that's fine. That's why Jesus died. Anybody else tonight? You've been playing games with God and God says, "Come back to me." I want you to raise your hand very high. Say, "That's me." Believers, I want you to pray. No more games. Thank you. Thank you. See, when you start to pray, people begin to respond because there's a direct correlation to your praying so that the spiritual realms opens up. Father, set people free here tonight. No more religion, no more games, no more trying Jesus, but thank you for a freedom. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand very high. You know that you don't know God and you want to have a relationship. What a wonderful opportunity. Respond to him, lay down your life, repent and say, "God, I want to do it your way." Anybody else? I want you to raise your hand very high. I want you to raise your hand very high and say, "That's me tonight." While there's a walk going on for certain people, I want you to respond right now. I want you to say, "Yes, God. Yes, Lord. What a privilege to serve God. What a privilege to represent him in the earth. What a privilege to know him. What a privilege to follow him. What a privilege, Lord, to reflect your glory and to know your glory, to be purified and forgiven, to be forgiven by God." Anybody else, I want you to raise your hand very high. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. If you've raised your hand, won't you come right out here? Come and meet me here on the left-hand side, your right-hand side. If you've raised your hand, or maybe if you haven't.